Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and this is my first show at my new home at KXAM, and I'm very pleased to be here, and I almost wasn't tonight, which I'll talk about in a minute. The premise of the show is that each week I'll be dealing with a variety of mental health issues. I take a more holistic approach to my work and to how I handle my own life, at least how I try to. And holistic meaning body, mind, and spirit. The need to be able to identify honestly what's going on within us and around us, to be able to be honest about it, to be able to communicate to who we need to communicate, but obviously to ourselves first. And that the healing and the change that most of us seek in our lives does, in my opinion, doesn't happen unless there is a real sense of balance. In other words, unless the spiritual aspect of who we are is being addressed, as well as the emotional, physical, and psychological aspect of who we are, so that all of it is working together, communicating to the various parts of ourselves, and we're able to express that balance in our lives, because through this work we establish a greater sense of balance within ourselves. So, again, I welcome all of you to the first show here at KXAM, even though I've been on the air for about a year and a half in the Phoenix area. And hopefully those that have listened to me elsewhere in Phoenix will find their way here to KXAM on Tuesday nights. So, very interesting experience this evening. to tell the truth faster, that is the topic of my show tonight, as well as the name of the show, because I believe it would be useful to start off actually talking about what that phrase means and how it can be applied. So to start with, I will tell the truth about the fact that I'm an adult with attention deficit disorder. At age 53, I was only diagnosed with it about 7 or 8 years ago, and I plan on doing a couple of shows on it in the future. But a great example of how the ADD operates occurred tonight. I kept thinking that while I go on the air in Arizona at 7 o'clock, for some reason I sent out all of my announcements saying that on Pacific time it's at 8 o'clock, which is exactly the opposite. It should be 6 o'clock. So I was actually on my way here when Candace, my engineer, and the program director, Jeffrey, called me on my cell phone and said, "Are you calling in?" I said, "Well, don't I have 2 hours?" And they freaked, and I freaked. And luckily, I was just a few blocks from home, and we got started. It's a very typical thing, even though I've been working on this and for quite a while, but it's a very typical ADD behavior, even though I confirmed it with a couple of people in Phoenix saying, "Is this right?" You know, 1 hour ahead, 1 hour behind. So I made it. Here I am. And for any of you listening, thank you for staying tuned here. And know that this is a live call-in show, and you're welcome to call in with your comments, questions, from anywhere, and those numbers will be given out to you shortly. So, telling the truth faster. I have a few examples, actually, this afternoon about the importance of this factor. One of the other things about myself is that I'm a gay man, and not all of my clients privately are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. I'd say about 40% are. You know, I have a nice range of clients in terms of balance even in that. And I do some consulting work at a couple of gay venues here in Los Angeles, and it's kind of like crisis intervention, drop-in, things like that, and they actually are sex venues. So today, while I was doing that consulting counseling, two guys actually came in to talk to me, and actually both of them had a very similar story. Both of them were married, Both of them saw themselves as bisexual, and both of them have difficulty being honest with who they are and what they are, what's going on with this attraction to men, what to be done about it, the fear that they're going to have to live like this their whole lives. One of them actually, his wife knows that he's bisexual and is okay with that, but the other one has this terror building inside of him that if his wife ever knew, all of his friends and families would totally reject him, his kids would disown him, and it would be a horrific thing. Now imagine what it would be like to keep a secret like that deep inside you, to live every day in fear of feeling something, in this case an attraction towards the same sex, while being in a situation that doesn't allow for a free expression of that. The dishonesty and holding that in causes a lot of complications and problems on many levels. Now, we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about it, okay? So stay tuned, and welcome to the show. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and if you're listening, you're listening to my first show on KXAM. And if you're inclined to call in with any comments or questions, or if there are some personal issues you want to ask some questions about, it's really the focus of how I'm hoping the show will go and as it's gone in the past. So locally in the Phoenix area, the number is 874-1311, area code 480-874-1311. If you're calling from outside the Phoenix area, anywhere in the country, the number is 888-437-7660. That's 888-437-7660. And if you want to listen on the Internet, which if you're listening to the radio, you obviously have no need to do that, it's www.kxam.com, and you can open up your audio and the show's airing as we speak. So here we go. Tell the truth faster. I was talking to you about the two guys I spoke to today and the pain and the sadness in their eyes and in their voice, and knowing that as they came in to talk to me, I knew for a fact, because they told me, that I am the first person they've ever had the courage to sit down with and actually speak the truth about these feelings they have inside. Of course, the other one, the only one he's talked to is his wife. And luckily for him, he has, but he still has this fear like, you know, what is all this about? And the ultimate fear for him was that he feels there's a real compulsive component to it for him. You know, he's 32, and this secret keeping is affecting his life, his health, all this. The other guy was 50, and imagine I'm the first person he's ever talked to about any of this, and he has been acting on these attractions since he said he was 24 years old. Now, telling the truth faster, I want you to imagine, if you're listening right now, I want you to imagine what it would be like to want to express something and feel like you just can't release it. I want you to imagine, say that you're angry about something with someone. And chances are when you were a kid, your parents said, don't you raise your voice at me, or, you know, you're not allowed to get angry here, or somehow you were shut down, knocked down, and the message you got was, it's not okay for me to express my feelings. It's not okay and it's not safe for me to say what's really in my heart or on my mind. So what happens over years and years and years, we've learned to swallow it down, to tighten the mechanism that allows for things to release. So imagine for a minute, if you're listening, and don't do this if you're driving, but I want you to tighten all the muscles in your body as tight as you can, from your face down to your toes, and hold it. Just hold it without hurting yourself. I don't want you overextending it and stuff, but get the feeling as I'm talking and as you're holding your muscles this tight, that this is the mechanism that's going on subtly for you, and sometimes not so subtly for some people. This is a mechanism that's going on subtly for you when you're withholding your own truth. Think about what it's like to live day after day with this, and for some of you, it may not be very difficult to imagine it because you're doing it. And the truth is, as human beings, I do it, we all do it, to varying degrees until we become more conscious of speaking our truth and taking risks and making contact and connections. Now take a deep breath and let all those muscles relax. Which feels better to you? It's a no-brainer, actually. But some of us are so conditioned and so familiar with that tightness in our bodies and in our psyches that we don't even realize we're doing it. We don't even realize it could be any better, except sometimes we see other people dealing more forthright and more at peace and more centered. So think for a moment. What is it that you have the biggest problem saying, and to who? What is it about? I mean, it's not just sexuality issues for people. It may just be, you know, who you are. And it may be withholding something even more positive, like you know that you're not in the right job, but you're afraid to say something. You're afraid to make a change. You know that you're not doing everything you could possibly be doing or what you're meant to be doing in the world, even if you don't know specifically what it is. You know that you can live bigger than you are. And by that I mean more in the world, doing more things that fulfill you and satisfy you and that are of service to the community. And maybe you have some thoughts and ideas that you think are wonderful, but you think everybody's going to think you're crazy because it's so outside the box. And, you know, with my ADD mind, that's a very common thing for people with ADD. We tend to be visionaries. We tend to think outside the box. And, you know, when I've gone for it, it's been an amazing adventure. Not always successful, but those are the risks we take. And one of the biggest fears, one of the biggest blocks that we have to telling the truth faster is fear. Basic metaphysical principle. Fear is what we believe is real. It's what we're familiar with. Our fear that we'll fail, our fear that we'll be abandoned, our fear that we'll be judged. How many of you know that it's those fears, particularly judgment, abandonment, failure? How many of you know that those are one of those or all of those is what keep you from taking some risks and doing what you really want to do? I'm sure that there are listeners out there that are already being triggered by ideas that have been haunting you that you wanted to do. So, what would happen if you actually followed through on some of them? Okay, maybe you'll fail. But at least you'll have the experience of taking the risk and moving forward. At least you will have the experience of getting past the block. Now, what happens if you don't? Well, in context to these two guys, and even in my own life, think of what your body is enduring by having to hold on to all of that material that tightly to keep a lid on so nobody finds out, so that you don't show your true self, so that you're not vulnerable, so you don't take risks. Think of what your body is enduring day after day, subtly or extremely. What do you think? How much of that do you think your body can really take? Okay, where do you think ulcers and heart attacks and migraines and other illnesses done? What do you think that kind of repression does to even a healthy immune system? Never mind a compromised immune system. Okay? What's it going to take for you to really make a shift, to take the risk? I've had a lot of friends over the years who were diagnosed with HIV or AIDS, men and women, gay and straight. I've been in the trenches with this particular issue since the mid-80s, and one of the things that I've really seen consistently is that the diagnosis of HIV or AIDS or somebody with cancer or something that is really helping people take a serious look at their own mortality very often is what it takes us as human beings to wake up, to say, you know what, time may be short, and I want to do more with this time here. And all of a sudden, they start doing all the things that they wish they had been doing before the diagnosis. So what happens with that? All of a sudden, they have this life-altering piece of information, a potentially terminal situation physically, and yet, at the same time, I've heard so many of them saying that life had never been better. Friends with cancer, friends with HIV or AIDS, you know, and other things where the diagnosis was their wake-up call, and all of a sudden, instead of retreating into just giving up and dying, although I have seen many people, too many people do that one, so many of these people that I've watched became heroes, became just like opened up in a way that it was like gangbusters, getting involved as a volunteer or starting projects that they'd always thought of, even starting new businesses or changing a career or leaving something that they've hated doing for years, even though it paid them good money, and said, you know what, the money's not that important. I want to feel more fulfilled. Now, there's nothing that says you can't feel fulfilled and make a lot of money doing it too. All right, I'm certainly somebody who adheres to that belief that you can be paid very well to do something that you truly love doing. But you have to start by, again, telling the truth faster. Is what you're doing now career-wise what you really want to be doing? Is there a dream you have on there, in there? What are you going to do about it? And maybe you don't have a dream. Maybe you just have the sense that what you're doing just isn't you, isn't what you were meant to be. Then you find a therapist, or you do a little research, attend some workshops, so that you can start identifying who you are and what changes you may want to make and where the support systems are. Does that scare you too? It's only research. You're not making a commitment to quit your job. You're not making a commitment, you know, to all of a sudden go back to college. You're not making a commitment to do anything. You're just educating yourself. You're just doing some research, some homework. That doesn't have to be scary. Most of the time what people find when they start dealing with that is a sense of excitement for the first time about possibilities, a sense of enthusiasm about looking forward to getting up in the morning and making some changes. It's wonderful and scary. And it's really about finding the support system. And again, we're going to talk when we come back from this break that sometimes the help of a good therapist that you really trust and can be totally honest with may be part of the solution. So we're going to take a short break here and we'll be back with Tell the Truth Faster. Welcome back to Tell the Truth, Pastor, my first show here on KXAM. And again, if you feel like calling in with a question or comment or an issue that you want to work on, and the local number is 480-874-1311, and the toll-free number is 888-437-7660. So tonight, actually, I've been focusing on the meaning of the title of the show, Tell the Truth Faster. I was talking about actually career plans, and I've been living in Los Angeles for about 17 years now. About 16 years ago, maybe even, or actually 18 years ago, see, I'm reversing the time frames. After graduate school in New York, where I grew up, I moved to South Florida, West Palm Beach area, and worked with chemical dependency units and had a private practice and was well established. I was on boards of directors down there with nonprofits and had a good private practice and was well known and respected, I believe. And all of a sudden I realized this wasn't the place I'm supposed to be living anymore. And I'd been there about 10 or 11 years by then. Owned a house. I mean, I was settled. But there was something inside me that said, if I stay here, I'm just going to vegetate. I'm just going to, you know, maintain the status quo. I was ready for what might be called the next level in my life. Okay? I knew it was time for me to leave Florida. I didn't know where. And it's a long story how I ended up in L.A., but I came out here for a particular purpose one day, and I walked off the airplane, and I was still in LAX in the terminal, and this shot of energy went through my entire body, and this voice came to me and said, this is where you're supposed to be living. I wasn't even out of the terminal yet, and I started arguing with it. And there was truth in it, because there was some semblance of peace in hearing that voice. Now, I'm not telling you I hear voices or whatever in terms of some, you know, psychiatric way, but all of us hear voices. All of us, if we listen, we're hearing voices. And some of us are afraid to acknowledge what some of those voices are guiding us to do. I believe it's part of our higher selves if there's a sense of peace around it. If it's an anger-based thing, if it's a fear-based thing, to me that's not our higher inner voice. Get back to a time in early childhood when that innocence was all you possessed. You had a very clear connection to that inner voice. So I was out here in L.A. for about a week and did my homework and found out what I need to do to get licensed out here and, you know, just started opening some doors. Went back to Florida after a week, and I told a few friends, as well as my mom who lived down there, that I was leaving Florida and moving to L.A. I was putting my house on the market, closing down practice, and that was January of 86, and that by June of 86, I would be heading west. And by June of 86, my car was parked, my house was on the market, friends threw a farewell party, and I was heading west. And it has been so clear that in the 17 years I've been here, while it's not always been a wonderful time, it's been that journey and that adventure and that next level that I knew in my heart I had to do. Now, how many people know that and don't do a thing about it or don't at least explore it? Now, again, it takes time to understand these inner voices that we get, you know, our inner guides, our subconscious speaking to us, to differentiate between that higher voice that really has our best interest at heart and the voice of fear and panic and destruction, which many of us listen to all too often. Now, this is why it's very important that you're in some type of therapy, that you have a place where you can do a reality check, a place where you could see patterns in your behaviors and listen to those inner voices and to see where your higher truth really lies and when that voice is speaking and what it's really guiding you to do. This is part of this holistic approach. There's a spiritual component to psychotherapy, in my opinion and in my experience, that a lot of therapists are afraid to address. We're not talking religion, although I have to tell you that issues around religion will come up with most clients, and I'm a therapist who's not afraid to let people talk about it, and I don't go into judgment about it. Everybody has their childhood wonderful memories around religion or horror stories around religion, and I'm not just talking about the abuse things. I'm just talking about the messages about getting along, the messages about loving one another, which to me is the basis of every of the world's religion, not judgment and tearing things apart and killing one another in the name of a religion. I do believe that the essence of every religion, whether it's Islam or Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, everyone, the foundation of all the great teachers, all the spiritual works are about love one another. And again, the therapist that I am and that I encourage people to seek out is someone that is willing to hear that you have some inner voices and is willing to help you differentiate and is willing to help you find your truth. And there are workshops to be attended. There are so many out there. In fact, this phrase, tell the truth faster, came to me through Sandra Ray and the Loving Relationships training back in 1986 when I first moved to L.A. That's where I was guided. And, you know, they do a process called rebirthing or conscious breathing. And I became trained in that, too, because it helps access this sort of stuff so much clearer, so much more directly, and in a much more peaceful and sometimes very cathartic way. But the end result of any kind of this kind of breath work is a real peaceful place. In the future, I'll be doing another show on rebirthing or conscious breathing. But the Friday night of this weekend workshop, they put this phrase up on the board. And again, it was one of those things when I heard it, it sent a shockwave through me. It's like everything made sense. This is like a mantra. Tell the truth faster. I have clients that tell me I keep hearing those words because it made sense to me, or they know it's a theme I work with, and I feel real grateful that it was given to me for me to pass on. And when I decided to do a radio show, of course, tell the truth faster. That's the name of the show. So finding a therapist that is really going to acknowledge all of you, and it's not to say therapies that are more behavioral or much more cognitive or, you know, so many other approaches. Again, every form of therapy has its time and place and its benefits. The important thing is finding the approach that works for you. And if you're with a therapist where you're constantly up in your head and not dealing with what's below the neck at all, it may be because that's the way you were raised and that's what's familiar to you, but you're still not getting to all of it. And you may be seeing that therapist for years and years and years, and you're still in the head analyzing everything and not getting the connection that goes on below the neck and in the body and emotionally, because you're in an analytical mode intellectually constantly. Okay? You may have gotten a lot out of that therapy. I don't doubt it. But maybe it's time to integrate more. Maybe it's a workshop. Maybe it's a new therapist. But the important thing is that you're seeking some help on a regular basis with somebody that you feel has the same, that has a like mind and a like heart, that understands the fear you may have in communicating and being honest about things, that may have some tools and techniques to actually help you dig in there and uncover some of the truth that you don't even know are there. And to me, that's the important part of what this is about. Last year, I got an email from somebody in the Phoenix area, and he wrote to me, and this is unsolicited, and I don't really even know who he is, and he went, Mr. Altshuler, I just felt the need to drop a note to you to thank you for your show. I work a lot of early evening shifts at my job and commute a solid hour to and from work. It is so nice on Wednesday, which was Wednesday nights then, to be able to listen to something positive on the airwaves. It, of course, is not a substitute for solid long-term professional counseling, but serves as a springboard for raising issues with my therapist. While like many bi-married men, I still have some issues to resolve in my long marriage and in my own heart, but your show helps me think about many of them in a broad context. Thank you for some of the best air on the air. And he signed his first name. And again, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm going to continue talking about that after we take our final break here. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening. We'll be back for the last segment of the show. This is Tell the Truth Faster. I'm Stuart Altshuler.
Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are falling.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and we're moving into the home stretch of my first show here on KXAM, and I actually want to thank the management here at KXAM for making me feel welcome, and Program Director Jeffrey and my new engineer, Candace. Thank you, Candace. And also Michelle Kaur and Greg Hall at TalkStars, who actually kept encouraging me and helped make a lot of this happen. I want to express my appreciation to them. And I know Michelle has a couple of shows on KXNX, so listen for hers. Now, getting back to what I was talking about earlier, you know, a therapist focusing on the change you want to make, a sense of integrity and honesty in the life that you're leading and the life that you're meant to be leading. Now, what can I say when it comes to telling the truth faster? How many of you know that, you know, we talked a lot about career and job issues. We talked a bit about sexuality. Think about even your sex life with your loved one. If you're in a relationship, you know, whether it's with the same sex partner or opposite sex partner, how many of you are not really enjoying your sex and yet have spent years doing the same thing and afraid to say anything? And now, because it's been so long that you're afraid to say something because now you feel like, well, this has gone on too long and I've been pretending too long, there are a lot of people in relationships that do that, that wish that your partner would stop doing something that's somewhat uncomfortable for you, or that there's something that you know would really pleasure you and you're afraid to ask, or maybe you're afraid to ask your partner, honestly, would they want you to be doing something different? Is there stuff you'd like to explore to enhance that sex life instead of resenting and distancing and creating barriers in terms of your intimacy so that one or both of you end up looking elsewhere for that satisfaction? Even the lack of monogamy in many relationships is based on the fact that certain things just were not said. And if someone would tell the truth, you might be able to resolve some things, and very often they're so much simpler than you think. Now, I want you to think about any movie, television program, soap opera, or whatever. What carries the story along? What carries the drama and the conflict along? It's usually because two people are having a conversation, and there is one word or one sentence or one thought that's not expressed, and so people go running on assumptions or create chaos. And of course, there wouldn't be a plot on a show for a lot of these because they dwell on pain and suffering and lack of happiness all too often, especially the soaps. But most of it happens because there's just one thing that someone didn't say, and if they had said it, the whole conflict of the plot would not have moved forward. And maybe they would have lived happily ever after, and they would have understood each other, and they would have, you know, spoken through something. And maybe that would be a very interesting thing to see how people do that. Okay? Consider it. I mean, next time you're watching a soap or next time you're watching a movie or a TV program, what's happening? Are there times when you're screaming in your gut saying, tell them, you know, but you know they're not going to, or they're going to be interrupted at the last minute, or something's going to explode in the kitchen, and the next thing you know, people are getting divorced, or they're having fights, or they're, you know, looking for you know, another sex partner, or they're just showing how unhappy things can be. So think about in terms of your own relationships, or lack of. How much of that is because you're not, how much of your dissatisfaction with it is because you're not speaking your truth? Even if you're single, about what it is you really want. Very often at the bathhouses, the gay sex venues that I do the consulting work in, very often a lot of the guys will talk to me and say, I don't really want sex. I really want someone just to hold me. I want to feel some male energy and arms around me, and I want to be able to talk. I want to connect. They're seeking intimacy, but afraid to say so because they're afraid someone's going to reject them if they don't just want orgasm and genital contact. But a majority of the guys there are looking for something more, and they think that's the only place they think they're going to find it there, and sometimes they do, but more often than not, they don't. But they're all afraid, and I encourage them to ask for it. Okay? How many times have you needed a hug and have been afraid to ask for it? How many times have you been with your partner and just needed to sit quietly for a day and not do anything, but you were busy running around together and doing everything that kept you from really connecting? Where is the dissatisfaction in the relationships? What have you not been saying? And if it's truly frightening, again, then maybe you need to do it in the presence of a couples therapist, a couples counselor. Think about it. Again, everyone's afraid to do that because they're going to afraid that they're going to be blamed for something, or because they've been repressing something so long, what they have to say is going to come out so hurtful. Well, you know, that's why you have a third party there, a trained third party, not just a friend or a relative, you know, a trained third party that helps you develop the communication skills so that you feel freer in each other's company. I mean, that's the bottom line of what therapy's about. Okay, communication and honesty and integrity in your life and in all your relationships. And yet, most people end up finding a couples counselor when one of them has a foot out the door already or has already left, you know, or they're just going because they want to say, I want to leave, and they're afraid to do it alone. And they feel like, well, if I do it in front of the therapist, then the therapist will be there to help put the pieces back together for my partner, and then I can move on. I mean, there's a lot of lack of integrity in that, but again, it's all based on fear. Okay, fear of communicating what you really want, what you really need, and maybe fear of saying, this relationship isn't working for me. What can we do about it? Do we want to work on improving it? Do we want to get honest with each other? Or are we afraid to do that and just want to call it quits? What are the reasons? It's not something most people know how to do by themselves. If you did, chances are you wouldn't be in the situation to begin with. Don't let your pride get in the way. Don't let the fear take control. And pride is usually the biggest thing that keeps people from seeking help. One of the guys at the club today walked past my door about a dozen times, and I knew he wanted to come in and talk. So finally, I went to the doorway, and when he walked by again, I introduced myself, and I said, I get the feeling you want to talk. And he just needed the invitation. He sat down, and he just opened up. And he didn't know how to do it himself. He was frightened. He didn't know how I'd react. He'd never done it before. And all it took was an invitation. And it was that simple. And he walked out of there with this relieved look on his whole body and some information of some reading materials and other stuff that I suggested for him. And it's like for the first time in his life, he had some direction to start working on himself. Okay? Again, he didn't have the courage, but I could see he wanted to. Just sometimes a small invitation is all that's necessary. Now, every week I'm going to be talking about a variety of mental health issues. Being a gay man, some of them will be very specific to the GLBT community. Any mental health issues are specific to everyone. I often do shows dealing with relationships and intimacy, and in the past I've had, you know, callers call in about their same-sex relationships and their opposite-sex relationships. This is a safe place, people. This is a place where if you need to ask a question, or if you want some feedback on something or need some direction, I'm not here to judge it. And I'm not here to beat you up like some radio talk show pseudo-psychologists do. That's not my approach, and that's not what I think is what's really part of the healing process. And the bottom line is that you all let me off the hook in this process and know that I, too, am a work in progress. That, you know, just like, you know, my ADD, I had an ADD moment and had the wrong time today. You know what? Okay, I got over it. I focused on it. In fact, Candace even said, you know, Stuart, you stayed so calm and we just went ahead with it instead of panicking or anything. And the truth is, inside I may have been panicking. I had thoughts of judging myself and criticizing myself for being so stupid and all that stuff. That stuff still goes on in my head. I'm not on the airways here presenting myself as a ascended or totally self-actualized human being. I've never worked with a client in my life where I didn't learn something about my own issues and something about myself and got a gift from that. And I've never had a caller call in where something didn't come back to me in terms of some self-awareness. I'm human like you're human. And we're all on this journey together. And when you call in or when I talk about certain topics, I do everything I can to listen to yours and help you on yours. But I also have no problem talking about how it relates to my own life, my own issues, and where my own struggles are, because I feel it's empowering for me to be that honest and open publicly. That way nobody can throw anything back at me. and people can't say to me, well, who are you to be giving us advice, you know, when, you know, you're pretty messed up. I'm not here to give advice. I'm just here to act as a guide and educator and help you maybe with some of the topics we talk about, some of the issues I deal with, find some peace, or at least a starting place. Like that writer said when he wrote in the email, to be able to listen to something positive on the airways, it of course is not a substitute for solid long-term professional counseling, but serves as a springboard for raising issues with my therapist. So with that being said, we've come to the close of my first show here on KXAM, and I thank you all for listening. You can actually email me at tellthetruthfaster.com, and you can hear all my archive shows from the last year and a half. So if you are so inclined, feel free to check out the website. It's totally free. Thank you. This is Stuart Altshuler, and Tell the Truth Faster. See you next week.